So let's go just with what the Lord has laid on my heart for this morning. Going into the family thing. So what would you say is the visa of heaven? Okay, the passport is Jesus and the relationship with Jesus. Okay, so yeah, can you die in Khoine? What would you say? Okay, you just said the valse imagination. So speel bietjie saam, okay. So what would you say is the visa of heaven? You've got your passport, Jesus, and your relationship with him. But what would you say is a visa that gets you to experience heaven? Faith. Okay, can I? That is a mooi antwoord. Nee, nee, sê, soos vir iemand gou langs, jy hoef my te sê nie. Het vir a speel. Sê gou vir iemand wat dink jy is dit. Iemand het gesê, faith, that's good. En as 'n klomp antwoorde wat gaan reg wees, okay, dit gaan nie net een wees nie. And you don't need a visa for heaven, okay? Hallelujah. Just to get theologically right, yeah? Anyway, so, but it gets into what I want to share with you guys today, because that is what Christ modeled for us, and humility. So, the Lord is really just stirring my heart again regarding humility and in being humble as his children. Because if you would have had a visa to experience heaven, and there's a lot of scriptures that we're going to go through this morning, but that thing that Jesus said, for those of you who wants to be first, needs to be humility. A lot of places, Jesus saying in the New Testament, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you must be what of all? Servant of all. So for you to truly experience heaven, even though you have a relationship with Christ, this side, the visa to that is through humility. To really walk in that relationship with God of humility. Okay, so where did humility start? So let's just go through a couple of scriptures so that we can get just a theological grasp regarding this. In Hebrews 2 verse 9, we find the following thing. Writer of Hebrews says, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Right, so, why is this a big thing? I racked my brain this morning to get an example. But it's so trerig, please bear with me. Say, for instance, you designed and created a mall. Something like Tygervallei, okay? So you created, you designed that. So you are the architect of that mall and everything that happens there, all of the businesses, everything. And then that place says, hey, we need a janitor to come and clean the toilets. How many designers of that great, magnificent thing will go down, leave your lovely office with aircon, to go and be a janitor in that mall? That is step one of our great and awesome King. That was step one. So if we understand where Jesus comes from, what he experienced with God, he is God. To have done that first step, to go and be among that which he has created. Now that is humility that we don't understand. Apart from my stupid example that I can give you. Okay? That's what Jesus did. But that was step one. So he left the glory of heaven to come and to be here among us. And then that wasn't the end of it. All right? So now, Philippians 2. We find the following. It says there, have this mind among yourselves. Okay, so Paul's writing to the Philippians and he says, have this mind among yourselves. Okay, which is yours in Jesus. who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, you know, something to have, like I am so great. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Okay, so now he's the janitor in that which he has created, okay? So he's done that. And then being found as that, in human form, then we get humility slash two. Then he humbled himself in that space to become obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So back to my janitor story. So now this janitor works there, and some of the other people have a fallout while they're in the bathroom with this janitor there, and the one kills the other one. And then this janitor says, I will take the place of the guilty one. And you can kill me because that's what he's deserving. Humility, step two. So for Christ to already have come down to be with us and to be with his creation, that is massive humility. But then to come here and not to lord it over everybody, because he could have, but to humble himself even further in obedience to the Father, to death on a cross, that is insane humility that we can only grasp in eternity when we get there one day. And we can taste a little bit of it here as we start to walk in this place of humility. Verse 9, therefore, because Jesus has done this, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Okay? Now, the opposite of humility is pride. And on the Pastor Summit, there was a guy that was sharing this, Niels, from, he wasn't sharing this, he was just sharing regarding building relational leaders in church. And it's amazing to experience people for who they are. Not for what they say, because he said great things, but I don't remember that. All I remember is the posture of the man that I see there was one of humility. And he just alluded to this. He said, this book changes life. So now it's starting to change the Val's life. Okay, so I found it on YouTube as an audio read book. Lekker. Twee ure se luister. Vir die van julle wat nie wil lees nie, dat's hy. Download hem op jou phone en dan kan jy 2 ure lang vir Andrew Murray oor humility luister. That is awesome stuff. He said, pride must die in you, or nothing of heaven can live in you. That is some intense counseling right there. Pride must die in you, or nothing of heaven can live in you. Why? Because of the scriptures that everything of heaven is humility. The greatest humility shown by our King is how it works in heaven. If there is an inkling of pride inside of you, then you cannot experience heaven, because pride does not belong in heaven. Ask Satan. Then, going back to Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, we find this scripture there, Deuteronomy 8, verse 2 and 3. Where do we learn humility? Okay? And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And verse 3. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Thanks for that testimony this morning. Don't know where you are now. 3 weeks of hunger in a family's life, feeling like wilderness, God, where are you? All of those questions that we ask. But then experiencing this thing, that in that place, God feeds you with manna, enough for every day, so that you can learn humility. Humility is not being able to be sustaining of yourself. Humility is, I am wholly dependent on God. That is what humility is in a nutshell. So when you go from that place and you experience that God provides for you every single day, you start to learn humility, because every word that comes from the mouth of the Father feeds you, lets you live. Now, what was just great, I'm not going to spend too much time on this. You know, that is the place where we get stuck here sometimes, okay? So, oh, I'm in the wilderness again. God is teaching me humility. Okay, great. Don't stay there. The reason, if you just go on, I didn't put it up there, so I'm just going to read it to you here. From verse 4 onwards, then God says, your clothing did not wear out, and your foot did not swell even over these 40 years. Okay, so even though it feels bad, not even your clothes or your feet got swollen or eaten up. Danielle always says, she doesn't know what I do to my shoes, but I wear them out from the inside out. I just do that. For 40 years, the people had the same clothing and the same things, and they didn't wear out. Okay? So God, he leads us there, but he sustains us. Know then in your heart, as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God will discipline you, so that you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God, and this is the next thing, through the humility, the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing with valleys and hills, a land that is of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and of whose hills you can go and dig copper. So what was coming? Nothing. Okay. Let's pray. What was coming? There's prosperity coming. There's a lot of stuff coming. No need, no lack, nothing. There's going to be a lot of stuff that the Israelites are going to have. Guess what? Without humility, knowing that Lord that provides even in those wilderness times, when you get to the prosperity, you will not be able to handle it if you've got an inkling of pride inside of you of me sustaining myself. And I'm preaching to the vault too this morning, okay? So when you go through the wilderness, it prepares you to know, listen, God sustains me. So that when you come to the place of God coming and giving you a lot of stuff, then you know this is just God's stuff. And I will learn, even through this, like Paul said, when I've got a lot, I've learned to be at contentment and peace. When I've got nothing, contentment and peace. That is humility in it. Okay, so God knows that for us to come into that latter part, we need humility. Otherwise, we will destroy ourselves. Then Jesus describes himself, you know, and that's where we learn humility. I love to quote the scripture to a lot of people and to myself, because this is the only place, the only place in scripture where you find Christ Jesus speaking about himself that doesn't come from other scriptures and stuff necessarily. And he says the following about himself. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why? Take your yoke upon me and learn from me. For, and these are the things. He speaks about who he is. He says, for I am gentle, kind. Kindness is in Christ. And lowly in heart, humble. That is what lowly in heart means. So Christ describes himself. He says, listen, come to me, all you are heavy laden, and because I am kind and I'm humble. That is who I am. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then even in the Old Testament, you know, God is amazing. I heard another story in this last week. if you were to pinpoint me in this world of 7 billion people, how would you do that? It's not that difficult. You would say the following. There is a man that lives in Africa, South Africa to be exact, Malmesbury, Simmentaler Street, number 38, married to Danelle, and has got 3 boys. So those are just 7. So now you have pinpointed me with 7 things that you've said in 7 billion people. Because there are not other people that can do that or be that. Because I know, as far as I, that I'm the only one living with Danelle in Simmentaler 38. But the cool thing is, that is what God has done with the prophecies that Jesus has fulfilled. Only many times more. God has so pinpointed the Christ through prophecy that there is no other being in the universe that could do that, what he has done. Right? So, that's just a freebie. Even in the Old Testament, look at this in Zechariah 9 verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, and shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. And then this nice word right there. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now this is awesome. Old Testament prophet inspired by the Spirit saying, this king of ours will come and he will be humble. He will be humble. So how do we do this? This humble thing. James and Peter, both disciples of Christ, write letters. Both of them say exactly the same thing. James 4 verse 10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Then Peter writes in 1 Peter 5, 6, and he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the appropriate time, he may exalt you. Andrew Murray writes this, and this is actually a good litmus test for us, something that God is starting to work in Duval, because I just asked an honest question in the last week to somebody. And that somebody gave me an honest answer. And that somebody said, Duval, it's great to see you these days. Because a couple of years ago, I perceived you as Rechoveg. And that's not something that I want to be. But through the Duvalness, I don't know. Some of us experience me as, if you don't toe this line, then I'm not going to, you know, even worry about you. And then God started to, and just to finish it off, she said, but what I see in you these last couple of months and years is gentleness and humbleness. And I'm like, Jesus, more of that for me. But how do we do this practically? Use every opportunity of humbling yourself before your fellow man as a help to abide humble before God. Because you know what? Being humble before people is much more difficult than being humble in our own mind before God. What does humble yourself mean? It means to take the low road when you speak to people, when you are with people, or when you fight with people. Humble yourself before the Lord so that he may exalt you. Humble yourself. Humility is nothing but that simple consent of the creature to let God be all, in virtue of which it surrenders itself to his working alone. Andrew Murray writes that and he says, this is what humility is. It is a simple consent that you give God to be all in all. And that you do not enter into that place of being something for God. And this is, you know, we all grow through this. The day that we die, we will be perfect. But you can grow in humility as you humble yourself before your fellow man, so that you can be humble before God. You're not a rug, okay? Don't let people walk over you. That is not what humility is either. Okay, so don't go into that, okay, just beat me a bit more. Okay, no. Christ didn't do that. Okay, Christ was humble, but he had a place where he spoke up and he said the things that needed to be said in love. And then lastly, and then we're going to be done this morning, is, and I'll expand on this a little later, but it's just something to give you guys to think about. When you speak to other people or when you engage with other people that are different than you, what do they experience from you first? Jesus said, I bring grace and truth. This one hit me hard. Because for a long time in my life, I hit people with truth first. Because the truth is, you're a sinner. You will die in hell. Okay, for some people it's necessary. Okay, they won't turn unless you give them that. But most people don't. Most people get impacted by knowing that God is good, knowing that He is gracious to me. All of us want God's grace. Why don't we have grace for one another? So, still speak the truth. That is fine. Jesus did that all the time. But it was always grace first and then truth. And that distinction comes when we start to operate and walk in humility. When you are humble, you know that I'm nothing. I'm nothing different than you are. I'm just as sinful as you are. So for me to come and take my mighty high throne with truth in the scripture and in it's stupid. But to be humble, knowing that you have received everything and it's only God inside of you that does anything through you. When you come to, guess what you have for people when you have that in your heart? Grace. What does that mean? It means that no matter what you've done and who you are, I know there's hope for you. There's hope for you because there was hope for me. So I will come with you in an attitude of humility because that is what happens in heaven. I'm going to serve you with what God has done in me. And you know what? There's hope for you. No matter how stuck up or stupid you are, or distraught or destroyed or whatever you want to say, Christ has got grace for you. And that is the truth. And the truth of His word will change you when you walk humbly with your God.